When Chelsea recommended that song, I was so excited. You know, and many of you grew up listening to, that's Queen, right? Freddie Mercury. You know, when that was all happening, I was an old soul. I was listening to Ray Charles and Nat King Cole. But I got acquainted with We Are the Champions because I used to play WrestleMania with my grandkids. We would get on the big king bed and we would play as if we were Hulk Hogan, and we'd throw each other down, and I would take my grandson and I'd toss him onto the bed and I'd stand up and sing, "We are the champions, my friends," right before he'd clobber me and then pin me to the mat and win, and then he'd yell, "We are the champions." That's my introduction to We Are the Champions. And Freddie Mercury fell in love with the song with the grandkid. Still love the song today because it symbolizes something that's in this room here today. Yes? That you are a champion, the champion for that which we want to create on earth. You are the person, the right person, at the right place, at the right time to be the champion of a cause, of a purpose, of a new paradigm. You are the portal, the vessel, and the avenue through which God is made manifest on earth. Yes?
Yes.
That's not a champion, yes. Yes?
Yes.
All right, now we're talking. You know, I wanted to start with a song, and I did not want to follow We Are the Champions, so we'll just bring it down a little bit, but this song is kind of the foundation of what I want to teach today. Some people look at the ocean and never set foot past the shore, while others set sail and never look back and go where no one's gone before. Some people look at the mountain and the fear of it shadows their life, while others look up and chart out their course as slowly they start their long climb. Anything's possible. Anything. Anything and everything is possible. Do we believe that? Oh, now that was a champion, yes. We do believe that. They used to say that humankind would never fly. We now own the skies. They used to say it was impossible to sail around the world, and we did it. They used to say that many diseases were basically a death sentence. Tell that to the survivors today. They said we couldn't break the sound barrier, we couldn't travel at the speed of light, we could not run a 4-minute mile or have light without fire. We've done it all. They said, you can't fly to the moon, you can't clone life, you can't connect with 100 different people in 100 different countries all at the same time. And we said, hold my beer, watch me. Hold my beer, watch me do it. They couldn't conceive of artificial hearts, microchips, satellite communication, personal computers, or surgery on an unborn fetus. It's commonplace today. Breathe that in. We are the champions of new realities, of new thoughts, of new ideas. And we do not stand on the status quo of limited thinking. We cannot and never will stand on the status quo of what limited thinking would say is possible, because we live in the realm of possibility, not the realm of impossibility. Every single advancement throughout history, every single advancement through time, every invention, every new idea was once labeled impossible by the laws of science. Every single one. But by the laws of God, which is the work that we do here in the laboratory of consciousness, by the laws of God, the laws of mind, we proved them wrong, using the laws of science to prove a new idea. And anybody who's a scientist here will tell you, scientists revel. They revel in the idea of proving an old theory wrong so a new theory can emerge. Science has advanced a whole bunch. Religion has not. We, as religious people, often don't celebrate the new idea that disproves an old theory, an old thought, but science does. And what we've done as new thought practitioners, you know, who was it that said that we call ourselves new thought, but some of us haven't had a new thought in the last 10 years? It was Carlton Pearson who said it. Probably Carol quoted Carlton, Carlton quoted Carol, and I'm quoting all of the above. Because that is the manifest realm. All of these miracles that were on page one, somebody had an idea, somebody had a thought, somebody had a vision and said, I won't accept the impossibility. Hold my beer, let me show you. Who knew this? Who knew this? The great spiritual physicist and alchemist known as Jesus the Christ. He says in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, let's go ahead and read it, with God, all things are possible. Now let's read that as if we are the champions that we just sang about. Together, with God, all things are possible. When we lean into the one source and the one power, the one mind and the one presence, nothing is impossible. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 9, together, anything is possible if a person believes. Not some things, not a few things, not the easy things. Anything and everything is possible. And again, from the Gospel of Matthew, let's read together. Seek and ye shall find, knock and the door will be opened, and all things will be added unto you. All things, not some things, not a few things, not the things that you think you can do, but the thing that God is moving and stirring as through us and as us as the portal of creation and existence. Roger Bannister did not accept the limited thinking. The first one to set the tone for under a four-minute mile. How many people have done it since? You see, our growth and our stretching and our evolution and our courage and our strength as the champions is not just doing it for ourselves individually, it is doing it for the world. Yes? By universal spiritual law, when we entertain a thought or a vision in mind, this great laboratory between our ears, there is an immediate and sufficient response from the universe. God rushes in. Sometimes we say, you take one step towards God, and God takes 1,000 steps towards you. The reality is God is not having to move at all. God is right at present reality. And ever-present reality, we have the thought, and there is an instantaneous movement of power beyond our limited thinking. Yes? God as life is a grand engine. I'm going to compare God to an engine of creation that is perpetually moving. All we have to do is to jump into the engine and use that engine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Oh my God, he said it. John 3:16, the weapon used by the Orthodox Christian Church. It's a misquote. I'm going to misquote it too and say it's engine. For God so loved the world, loved you, B, that it gave itself as an engine of creation, as the ability to manifest heaven on earth, as the ability to create any reality that you want. I'm going to jump ahead on the screen, guys. There's a quote by John Milton in his book, Paradise Lost. I don't know if it's the slide is there or not, but this is what he said. The mind is its own place. And in itself can make a heaven of hell or a hell of heaven. I've done both. Everything's working great, but I want to be a victim. And so I let my thinking revolve around victimhood. Poor me, poor me. I take the beautiful heaven and I create hell on earth and it is my reality. But if you can do that, you can also do the other thing. We are not bound by circumstances. We never have been bound by conditions or relationships or limitations of the human mind, but only bound by our inability to access the God power, to jump into the engine, to jump into the river, and to manifest something different. Our job is to meet God at the level of divine ideas, which is a space of partnership and a place of oneness. You know, there's a Trinity. We often don't talk about that. There's a Trinity in unity. It is divine mind, divine ideas, and then expression. And so many people are contextualizing their life from the level of expression. What's happening here is what my reality is. It's an illusion, and it can change like that. It's in the relative realm of existence. Our job is to get into the absolute, unchanging energy of the engine of God. And that means dipping into the pool of divine ideas, meeting God halfway. You see, so many people think it's God's responsibility what's going on here. God doesn't give a hoot about what's going on in your life. God only knows divine ideas. The engine's moving. Divine ideas, divine possibility, health, abundance, peace, prosperity, goodness, love, harmony, balance, compassion, all exists here. Our job is to leave this realm, come apart for a while, Jesus said, get into the realm of divine ideas and then bring them down, because that's our job. God's job has already been completed. It's the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. It's all done. The divine ideas have all been created. If it's not happening on earth, it is our job to reach into that higher room, that upper room, that higher consciousness, and to pull it down onto earth. So if you're experiencing hell on earth, pause, breathe, go a little higher, and bring a greater idea down to existence. And if you're experiencing heaven on earth, just experience it. Don't create hell with your stinking thinking, right? You see, when you follow the leading of thought, a new thought, a divine idea, you will eventually be setting sail on the ocean. You will eventually be climbing that mountain, and you will be living in a whole new world, a whole new reality. That's how powerful you are. Do you know that? That doesn't sound like a champion. Do you know that you have all the power to be in partnership with that engine, as a part, a component of that engine of creation, to manifest heaven on earth and a new reality? Do you know it?
Yes.
We are the champions. We are the engine. We are the possibility. Yes? You know, I like to use nature. The river knows only to go to the ocean. That's all that it knows. And if you are feeling turbulence, you're probably not cooperating with the laws of buoyancy. You're probably not cooperating with the river's leading to get to the ocean. You're fighting the current. Well, this is what's true spiritually. If life isn't working, stop, pause, and breathe and go, how am I not cooperating with the divine law? How am I not engaged with the engine? How am I fighting the engine? That's plain and simple, all that we do here. The power of our thought to align my thoughts with spiritual truth, to align the feelings of my heart with spiritual truth. But don't take my word for it. Here's the great Hindu mystic Patanjali. This is how he put it. Let's read it together. When you are inspired by some great purpose, some extraordinary project, all your thoughts break their bonds. Your mind transcends limitation. Your consciousness expands in every direction, and you find yourself in a new, great, and wonderful world, and you discover yourself to be a greater person by far than you ever dreamed yourself to be. How many people would say, and I want you to think about this question, that you were living in the skin, you were living in the dream, you're living in the life, you're living in the vision of something you thought 10 years ago? The answer is yes. Every hand should be up. Because good, bad, or otherwise, you're living in the vision of what you held 10 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 10 minutes ago. You are living into that. If you don't like what you see, change your thinking, change your life. Say that with me. Change your thinking, change your life. Thoughts held in mind reproduce like rabbits after their kind. You allow those rabbits into your consciousness, and they're having a really good old time. That which you allow into the laboratory is manifesting in your life. Repeat after me, thoughts held in mind reproduce after their kind. Reproduction is the engine of creation. No, I don't repeat that. Wow, this is really good. I love my minister. Look at that, I manifested love. He's a little bit egotistical. What Patanjali is talking about is mind over matter, thought over substance, over matter, the substance, that which is standing underneath the creation. It's mind over obstacle, mind over history, mind over finite realities and beliefs, mind over conditions, and mind over any belief system. By spiritual law, experiences will eventually reflect a mental atmosphere. That which you are holding here will eventually show up out here. This is basic new thought. This is basic unity. You know, and sometimes I tell myself, I have to come up with something new and creative to say on Sunday morning. I tell you, week after week, it can be hard. And I think, well, I'm going to tell the congregation this week that they have the ability to change their life. I'm going to tell the congregation that the thoughts held in mind will make heaven on earth or hell on earth. And they go, that's boring. They've heard that 100 times. So I had to examine my consciousness. How many times do I need to get up here and say that you are the creator, the director, and the producer of your life? I need to say it every week, and it should not be boring. If it becomes boring and we have to be entertained, then why are you coming here? I don't want to entertain your eyes or your ears. I want to entertain your thoughts. I want to entertain the engine of creation. And when you leave here, to know that you are that powerful. To know that you have that God-given ability as an offspring of God to manifest something great and beautiful. Let's go to Eric Butterworth, one of the icons of the New Thought movement. Let's read what he had to say. Do we have it up there? Do we have a slide? I will manifest that. Well, if we don't find it, Eric Butterworth said this: man is not in the world to set it right, but to see it rightly. And right seeing is the passport from illusion to the heaven of accomplishment. Passport. I like to use the word avenue, vehicle, the mode, the modality through which you create heaven on earth. And so many of us are worried about making it right. If I could just work this relationship here a little bit stronger, Jerry and I would get along a lot better. Or if Chet and I, if I could just make him believe that I was right and he was wrong, it would work a lot better. And we're worried, if I could just get a better job, if I could just have a better relationship, then everything would be fine in my world. And we're living in the world of effects. We're not in the river to the ocean. We're not in the engine of creation. We're in the world of effects. We need to crawl into divine ideas. Back of my relationship with Chet is a divine idea of oneness. The humanity, the divine idea of our common humanity, which in unity we call the Christ. I don't care what you call it, but your job is to go to the upper room, go to the higher consciousness, and live in divine ideas, not in the world of effects. This is a place of suffering. It's always changing, and you may change it for a moment, but if you change it for a moment and you get attached to that change, it's going to be different tomorrow. But from the realm of divine ideas, from the absolute, love is love. Oneness is oneness. And so I contextualize every relationship I have from the place of oneness. I contextualize every situation in my life, every circumstance, every experience from the realm of divine ideas, not from the realm of the effect. I dip into that and I pull it down, and suddenly there's a manifestation that my relationship with Chet is better. So many of us want it to change overnight. Your sinking thinking got you to the place that you are right now over years and years and years. And we think it needs to happen immediately. I had a different thought. I meditated once. Nothing changed. And the reality is the engine is always moving. We must be in a perpetual state of oneness with the engine. To know that when you get up, the first thing that comes out of your mouth, the first thing you allow access to in your head is creating your reality for the day. The last thing you say to yourself and that you allow access into this engine and into this laboratory before you go to bed is now rehearsed for the next 6 hours. 7 hours for some of you, 10 hours. You sleep a lot. Boy, be careful what you're taking to those 10 hours of sleep. Be careful what you've put into the engine, because it says, okay, that's what you want, Julie, I'll give it to you. It's exactly what you want, Chris, I will give it to you. Be careful what you're thinking. I'm trying to think of the great master that said this: much we should watch our thoughts like we would watch a rattlesnake coiled 3 feet away from us. Boy, the attention that we give to the rattlesnake, but not the attention we give to our mind, we must be careful, because the rattlesnake can strike and kill our body. But the mind, we must watch the mind as carefully, because it can strike and kill our ability to drink the sweet nectar of God's cup of existence. So many people are going thirsty, not drinking of God's cup of existence, because they're only focused on what's going on here. And they've missed all the good that is just as close as the breath they just took. The beat of their heart right there in the center of their chest. First the internal environment, then the external environment. Thought precedes experience. Say that with me. Thought precedes experience. My granddaughter, Quinn, knew this at a very young age. She went to my wife, Susie, her grandmother, and she said, "Grandma, I know how to swim. I just haven't learned how yet." And that was kind of baffling at first. And I went, oh my gosh, she's teaching us new thought. Innately, at a spiritual level, at the level of the Christ, the Buddha, the Atman, and the Tao, you know how to do everything. Roger Bannister knew, it saw it in mind first, in the divine idea, saw the possibility before it manifested on earth. And so many of us are saying, I just can't, I won't, it's not possible living here. But I'm inviting you to channel your inner Quinn and to say, you know how to swim, you know how to prosper, you know how to heal, you know how to do all of that at a spiritual level. You just haven't taught your human brain yet how to do it. But what's guiding the boat? What's guiding the bus? The human idea or the spiritual idea? Plain and simple. There's too many victims in this world today. Too many people that are subject have given their power away to what's going on in the world. And I'm saying you have at your disposal, in your hands, at the edge of your mind itself, the engine of creation. The law of cause and effect. But I want to go back. Let me go back a page here. The law of mental equivalence. Say that with me. The law of mental equivalence. What does that mean? Everything in life has a counterpart in mind. Every experience, every relationship, every situation has at its root a mental pattern that matches what's going on. Everything. Here, everything in the world was created twice. We know this if you read the gospel, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. There's two creation stories. First one is happening in mind. It's not in the material realm yet. The second one is, okay, now it gets downloaded onto earth. Shift the thought wave and you shift the experience, plain and simple. And then the ordinary becomes extraordinary and the impossible becomes possible. But don't give up. You cannot give up on yourselves. Spiritual law is the process by which unformed substance, that which is standing underneath all creation, God, is brought into reality. And that's our job. You don't like what you see? Get a little more God and download a little bit more love. You don't like what you're experiencing? Download a little bit more God. Download a little bit more love, a little bit more peace. Be the change that you want to see in the world. An immutable method of bringing the unmanifest, only in the realm of possibility, into the manifest realm. Thought precedes experience. The law of cause and effect is the use of the engine. Sometimes it's called, you all heard it 100 times, the law of attraction. That's basic new thought. Everything has a cause. The world of effects has a mental root. That root lives in us collectively and individually. You, as the offspring of love itself, use laws to create realities through the portal of your consciousness, through the portal of your thoughts. You become the veritable cause of a new reality. I want you to be among the ranks of the people who stood on the moon and said, "I knew it was possible." I want you to be among the ranks of the surgeon who saved that unborn fetus and says, "I knew it was possible." I want you to be among the ranks of Roger Bannister and say, "I knew I could do it." And then said, "And I know you can do it too." His record's been beaten a number of times. I don't know what the record is, but it's a heck of a lot faster than I've ever run. Albert Einstein puts this engine this way. Let's read this together. Everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. So many people are standing over here, and they're going, yeah, I think that's possible. They told me that was possible at Unity. I took a class and they told me that was possible over there. I'm saying quit pointing at it and go over and live in it. Oh, let me vibrate as success. Let me vibrate my mind and my heart and my whole being at the realm of possibility as a present day reality. In the mind of God, it's done. Say that with me. In the mind of God, it's done. And when you're standing over there, you're in the mind of Richard. I want you to get into the mind of God and to dip into the divine ideas. It's done. It's complete. And when I live there and breathe there and feel there, I become the virgin consciousness that brings a new reality that nobody ever thought before. Nobody ever had this thought before. I am the virgin, and it's being born through me and as me right now. Hold my beer. Let me show you. Hold my beer. Hold my stinking thinking. Let me get it out of the way, and let me be the veritable essence of a new idea. J.D. Martin and Jan Garrett, the opening song we sang today, I dreamed of rain, and the rain came. That's not an accident. I dreamed of peace, and peace came. It's not an accident. I dreamed of a better relationship with Chet. I'm just using you as an example. We're Buzz. I dreamed of a better relationship with Chet, and suddenly there was a better relationship. I dreamed of prosperity, and suddenly there was prosperity. Oh, and the rain was sweet and easy. You see, when you're cooperating with the engine, to get to the ocean is very easy. And we're so many of us fighting what is. My hero, one of my heroes, Don Quixote, and some people don't get this, but in the musical Man of La Mancha, he says a line that I carry with me all the time to help me remember this engine of creation. They call me mad, seeking treasure where there is trash. But perhaps maddest of all is to see the world as it is and not as it can be. I look at the troubles of the world and I think of Aldonza. And then I think of Dulcinea. Beauty in the midst of ugliness. That's our job. New paradigms, not old paradigms. New thoughts, not old thoughts, not old patterns. New realities where everyone in the world says it's not possible. Let me show you. Let me get involved. Each of you where you sit today, no matter how dark or light your life feels in this moment, you have the power of the universe right at the edge of your mind. In fact, let's touch your third eye with me. I have the power. Say that with me. I am the power. I am an engine of creation. Hold my beer. I look at my life today. My life today, and I'm going to invite the band to come up. My life today is a result of very conscious decisions, very conscious decisions to see myself as capable enough to envision, to manifest, and fulfill the requirements of the life that I now live. Everybody okay? And my life 10 years from now will be a product of my thinking, good, bad, or otherwise. Of what you are allowing access right now. Your life 10 years from now will be a product of what you are allowing access into your brain. New grooves are being formed by new thoughts. I believe in you. I believe in our collective and our individual ability to create, to embrace, to nurture, and to sustain the most amazing heaven on earth. A life more rich and healthy, joyous and abundant, peaceful than we've ever imagined before. Do you believe that that is possible? Yes. Will there be moments when you falter on your belief? Yes. And those are the moments you make the journey from here to here. God is present. God cannot be absent. God never has been absent. And it's done in the mind of God. And I allow myself to be used as the portal and the vessel through which new ideas are made manifest on earth. That means getting your body behind the idea. That's our job. God's job is complete. Our job is to manifest it. I believe in each and every one of us to create that life. And so my challenge to each of you today is to not just stand on the shore and gaze out at the ocean. Get a sailboat and put up the sail. This is where the sail is. Put it up and go where no one has ever gone before. Go where no Jenny Langer has ever gone before, or Nick has ever gone before, or Judy, or Marianne, or Linda. Don't wait for tomorrow. The world's waiting. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be nice. Go to the upper room. Go to the divine idea of that which you seek and live as that vibration.